Good afternoon. Welcome to Division 6 of the Court of Appeals. We have one case scheduled on our 230 docket, In Re Estate of Reinhardt. I see that counsel are present and at counsel table. Both of you should have received a set of written instructions about our procedures. Does anybody have any questions about those? Okay. We'll go ahead then and proceed to argument in the Reinhardt case. I'd ask counsel, when you come to the podium, if you would please identify yourself by name and your attorney registration number. And again, I'd caution, if anybody in the courtroom has a cell phone or a pager or anything like that, please turn it off now so that counsel and the court aren't interrupted during argument. And with that, we are ready for argument in the matter of the estate of Daniel Reinhardt.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court, Sari Eskovitz, attorney registration 9704, appearing pro se. Your Honor, this appeal asks that this court reinstate the rule of law in a protective proceeding in a district court in the 4th Judicial District that was sitting in probate. The context is a protective proceeding under Colorado Probate Code where a former guardian ad litem, myself, requested fiduciary fees for services as well as for litigation expenses. This is not a request for attorney fees under CRS 1317-101. This is a request for fiduciary fees under 1514-417, and as such is subject to special considerations that the legislature has provided and special procedures. I have contended and outlined in my brief how the trial court completely ignored the appropriate statutes, the controlling statute, as well as due process and equal protection, and how the order that was issued by the court originally on November 14th, which was then reviewed and revised by the court subsequent to a request for relief, does not comply with the statute, and there is no basis in fact for the court's so-called findings or in fact for the court's so-called conclusions. The record shows that the trial court's award of $3,700 to the former guardian ad litem for services rendered, which according to the motion for fees covered an extensive period of time, was arbitrary and capricious. This court on appeal can find nothing in the record to justify that amount.
Well, let me interrupt you, if I may, for just a moment. As a general proposition or statement of law, isn't it correct that the probate court possesses the authority to determine the reasonable compensation and method of payment for any court-appointed GAL, and absent an abuse of that discretion, the award will be not overturned? And citing 1514-417 and the case of the Department of Institutions versus Carruthers. What do you say about that? Does the court have any discretion awarding GAL fees?
Certainly, Your Honor, if in fact there is a dispute that is properly raised by an opposing party, and if in fact...
What if there is none?
If there is none?
Yeah.
Your Honor, I would contend that, in fact, if you look at the probate statute, it is trying to keep issues of fees away from the court and the court's concern. The provision for payment of fiduciary fees says that the conservator may make, without judicial review, payments of fees. If I may just go to the table and pull the statute. And just as a reminder for the record, we are dealing with the law as it applied in 2006. This case is quite old, but the applicable law is the CRS 2006 when these proceedings occurred. Um, the statute provides, and I am trying to find the specific provision that states... Yes, well...
Did you say earlier on that if the conservator has the right to...
Has the right, yes, the proceed...
We're not talking about the...
We are, Your Honor, there was...
The person who ordered the fees or ordered the fees reduced was the probate judge, isn't that correct? Not the conservator.
That's right, but the procedure anticipated in these proceedings is that the fee request will be made, and let me see if I'm finding it in the rules. Typically, fee requests are set under Colorado Rule of Probate Procedure under Rule 8.8 as a non-appearance hearing. And that means it's put on the docket when a motion for fees is filed by a fiduciary. It's put on the non-appearance docket, and if no proper objection is raised within the 15-day time period, it is on the non-appearance docket, and it is then reviewed by the court and granted for lack of objection. And this file...
When you say reviewed by the court, what is the court supposed to do? Does it have any discretion whatsoever?
No, Your Honor. If
so
you will...
Why is there a court review?
The court will review it that there has been no timely objection filed. And if in fact the court will look at the record in this case, you will see that there have been other fee requests by other fiduciaries, including myself, that were reviewed by the court in this manner, simply on the non-appearance docket. If in fact an objection is going to be raised, it is the burden of the party objecting to set it for hearing, and the rule specifically provides that failure to timely set the objection for an appearance hearing as required by Section 4 of this rule, which means the rule that says if you're going to object, you have to file it timely, shall result in the dismissal of the objection with prejudice without further hearing.
So let me make sure I understand. Is it your position that the Colorado statute set up a system where a court on a motion for fees has absolutely no discretion to decide reasonableness or even whether fees should be granted under the factors in 417 if there's no objection? Where in the statute does it say that?
Your Honor, I don't think this court needs to reach that issue. In this case, in fact, we have no findings after under the statute 1514.417. We have no compliance with Rule 8.8 of the Colorado Rules of Colorado Rules of Probate Procedure. So in fact, this case does not present that issue.
Well,
what this case, and if I may, really what should happen is that conservators should be filing, excuse me, annual reports, okay? To read the statute to give the court ultimately the ability to review attorney's fees. 1514.417, I believe it's 1, does say that if the court finds fees, fiduciary fees, to have been granted in excess, that fiduciary shall reimburse the estate. The way that's supposed to happen is that a conservator, first of all, should be making an objection outright at the initial presentation of the motion for fees. That's the duty of the conservator. The other thing the conservator is supposed to do is file an annual report. In that annual report, payments to fiduciaries from the estate are mandated to be listed.
Yes. To follow up on Judge Loeb's question, in the absence of any objection by the conservator, what you're saying is that the trial judge must accept the request for fees submitted by the guardian ad litem. Is that correct?
At least he must hold a hearing on them.
He must hold a hearing. But can he make, without a hearing, can he make any changes?
I believe not, Your Honor.
Thank
There's
you.
No
That's
basis
all,
in
I
fact.
Thought I really wanted to know.
And it is the job of the other fiduciaries, the guardian ad litem, the guardian, and in this case, we had two conservators. If they have an objection to the fees, the judge does not know as much about the case as those fiduciaries are supposed to know.
But this judge knew a lot about this case.
Pardon?
This judge knew a lot about this case.
Your Honor, I don't believe that's true, and as the record shows. So I would contest that the record supports that conclusion, as a matter of fact. But in fact, if the conservators are not objecting, the judge would then have the ability, if there had been no hearing, upon the submission of an appropriate and proper annual accounting, to review fees that had been paid.
But this came up on your motion.
Correct.
So that's what the judge had in front of him, was your motion for fees for $9,000 plus.
Correct.
So under the there is a statutory framework that says, all right, here's some guidelines, some factors that you can consider, and anything has to be reasonable. Isn't that what the statute says?
The statute says that, but this court does not have, if you take any of the items that are listed on the fee request and try to find a finding of fact that supports reduction of that item, I propose to this court that there are no sufficient findings of fact, and in fact, the one finding of fact that the court makes is not supported by the record, is egregiously and erroneously made, that $3,700 was paid to the counsel for the spouse is totally irrelevant, and it isn't correct. If you look at the record, there is nothing to support that number.
Aren't a couple of the factors in the Section 417 what the amount involved is and the results obtained?
Correct.
And didn't the court make a finding, you may or may not agree with it, that there was very little benefit to the protected person here by these services? Now, okay.
And Your Honor, benefit, technically the rule does not set out a benefit to the person as a standard. It says that for litigation in Section 15, 14, 417, 3, the standard for litigation services of a guardian ad litem is that the litigation, my defense of the position that the a guardian ad litem should be maintained on the case, and defense of my position that the co-conservators were not doing their job, the standard is not benefit to the person. It is, in fact, whether or not I pursued that in good faith. So even in the second round, the judge did not apply the appropriate standard for determining whether or not guardian ad litem fees should be paid. And, you know, if you accept Appelli's argument, in fact, the judge ruled that there were no fees to be paid for the, litigation efforts of the former guardian ad litem.
Well, let me ask a question while you're having a drink here. To follow up with what Judge Lowe has just indicated, didn't the trial court find that the underlying litigation concerning Eskovitz's resignation as a GAL and the future need for a GAL was extraordinary and of no benefit to the protected person, and that the additional fees requested were excessive and unwarranted? Did he or did he not make that finding?
He did not, Your Honor.
Hey, pardon?
He did not. He did not specify what litigation.
Well, I'll direct you to the record, supplemental record, volume 4.
Yes.
5 and 6. Did he make those findings or not?
He did not. He said.
Did he say that?
He did not say that. He has an order. There are two orders. The first order on November 14th says the court cannot see how the former guardian ad litem benefited the estate and finds that the requested fees of the former guardian ad litem are excessive. That is the only finding he makes. He corrected that upon my motion for relief when I pointed out to him that benefit to the estate is not the standard to be applied when determining fiduciary and in particular guardian ad litem fees. I am not there as a guardian ad litem to defend the estate. That may be the way this proceeding went in terms of its focus.
But the court corrected that statement, right?
It did, and it then said it was imprecise, and it changed its wording, and it said the court was imprecise in its ruling that the court should have said it found that the efforts of the former guardian ad litem were very little benefit to the protected person rather than to his estate. That's a conclusion that is not supported by the record, Your Honor. The record shows, if we're talking about the and my fee request went far beyond and encompassed more than the litigation, the three-day hearing that was before this particular trial judge.
Thank you, counsel. Your time is up.
Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm Stephen Brunette, number 26387. I represent the appellee, Suzanne Reinhart. Your Honor, with high respect to the appellant's commitment to serve the protected person, I think we have a simple matter of an abuse of discretion standard. There are sufficient findings, more than sufficient findings, to support the trial court's ruling, and that the basis for the court's ruling that the fee should be $3,700 is amply supported by the record. The court did preside over all of the proceedings that were involved in the fee request, all of the proceedings for which the former GAL sought fees, expressly found them excessively litigious, not reasonably necessary, and of no benefit to the estate or the protected person. It also found in the order appealed from that the overly contentious nature of the proceedings continued even after the court had expressed its concern at the beginning of the litigation that the fees being incurred were in excess of benefit to the protected person. So this is not an arbitrary, capricious, or unreasonable award, and the benefit rule does apply, and I won't cite the case law in the brief, pages 19, et cetera, that the benefit rule does apply, and a court does have a duty to review a motion for fees and to determine the reasonableness, the benefit to the estate, and to make a sound determination. And that's an abuse of discretion standard that applies to that. Even if the court were to apply a de novo, if you review the billing that was submitted by the former GAL, you know, there was the court had that, and specifically in its ruling said that it did review the billing, the entire proceeding, and the basis finding on all of those factors. As for the hearing requirement, there are no due process violations here. There was a motion for fees and costs filed by the former GAL. The guardian filed an objection. It was not a detailed objection, but was an objection to the motion.
No, wait a minute, you've confused me. You said the former GAL, then the GAL filed an objection.
No, the guardian, Your Honor, I'm sorry. The former GAL filed the motion, and then the guardian,
who's the guardian ad litem. Who are you referring to as the former GAL?
Well, the former GAL is different than the guardian. The guardian...
Well, but is that different than this GAL, Ms. Laskovic?
Right, this is not a GAL, this is Ms. Reinhart. The guardian, who is the guardian for the protected person. And the former GAL set the matter for a hearing and then filed a motion for a judgment on the pleadings. And what was before the court at that time was a motion for a judgment on the pleadings. The pleadings consisted of the motion for fees and costs. The court provided an opportunity for the former GAL to add anything to that. She did not do so, but the court then considered all of the evidence before it, including the entire proceeding, and made its determinations, which are a matter of record. So a hearing opportunity was provided. Even if a hearing had not been provided, and again, we say a hearing opportunity was provided, it was not just a review of the pleadings. If the court applies the standards relied on by the former GAL, 1514.417, that list of standards are, it's the same as standards in disciplinary rules governing attorney's fees and costs, is considered in various codes. It does not, they don't all have to be applied in every case. And there is authority cited in the brief that says where the court awards fees, or is going to award fees, has to provide the party against whom the fee award is being provided, and that's coming out of the Court of Appeals, that the court does have to provide a hearing and consider all those factors and provide the party who's going to have to pay those fees an opportunity to challenge all of those factors under the fee award. But if the court denies fees and makes findings such as those in this case, it does not have to consider each of those factors, itemize those factors. And the authority is cited in the brief. I won't repeat it unless you want me to find it. But basically, Your Honor, it's just a matter of an abuse of discretion standard. There's no abuse of discretion here. The record supports the findings and the ruling, and we would request that the court affirm it. We've also requested fees and costs for having to go through this appeal, but the that's just where it is. You know, I mean, we're here arguing over something that I think was adequately addressed by the district court. Frankly, Your Honor, I don't know that I have anything more to say at this point, except that the former GAL certainly committed person and did a lot of good work for this person, but the fees sought here were not for the benefit of the estate, so they're not something that the I think this court should reverse in the district court.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you to both counsel for your arguments. The case will stand submitted. An opinion will issue in due course. That completes our docket for this afternoon, and the bailiff may announce a recess.
Court will be in recess, subject to call.